Dwayne, Raptors win. Get out the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over. There you go, folks. It's all good. It's all good.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Untitled Raptors podcast. It's your host, Talibin Akshay here. Welcome to episode 13. 13 weeks, Akshay. Actually, 13 plus one because we did the emergency pod. But 13 yes. Episodes overall. It's exciting to have you, everyone here. Akshay, how's your weekend, man? How's it going?
It's going good. Before we get into the weekend, I just want to wish you a happy load management day.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely correct. Load management day, always a Sunday game. So I feel like church, yeah. Kawhi goes to like church on Sunday, so he doesn't get to play. So he's like, oh, load management.
Well, load management.
He's going to get fined.
Hey, you were not at hockey today, so you were on load management as well.
Yeah, I hurt my leg a little bit. So I wasn't pushing it too much, but I should be back hopefully next week. The playoffs start next week?
No. We're a couple of weeks away from playoffs. Okay. So we're okay.
I only make it for the playoffs, you know. That's what it is. Yeah.
the Kawhi, right?
The Kawhi effect. Yeah. The unfortunate part is I actually pay my fees as well. Like no one pays me to come. So I got to pay and I'm losing money on this. But it is what it is.
We scored 9 goals today. I scored 0 of them.
That's not even like hockey anymore. Like you're playing like lacrosse style here.
I am the Patrick McCaw of the team. I come in, defensive intensity for a short period of time, and then run off.
That's the life of intramural sports, I tell you, in Toronto.
Okay, so weekend, what do we do? Oh, we went on Friday. Me and Talib went to the game with a couple of our friends. So we met a new friend. Her name was Andy. She listened to our podcast, and so she immediately commented on it as soon as we sat down, which was really weird for me. She taught us that we should be nice to the players, Talib.
Yeah.
That we were being mean to the players.
I mean, I've already mentioned it that I have no loyalty to the players. I have loyalty to the team itself. So when DeMar is gone, DeMar is gone. It's over. DeLon Wright's gone, DeLon's gone. You know, we're on for the new players, new team. You support whoever rocks on that jersey. If they're gone, it's over. I'm not buying CJ's PJs anymore.
You were never buying CJ's PJs?
False. They had to reduce the price from $90 to $45. They're still at $90. No one's buying PJs for 90 bucks.
How about onesies?
No. 90 bucks is way too much. I can't afford that. No.
Yeah, so we went to the game. It was a great game. We'll talk about it more in detail. We met somebody named Andy there who was really awesome and enjoyed our banter in real life.
Yeah, we were. I was pretty loud during the game. I think majority of it.
And the claw, Talib is trying to really bring in the claw.
Yeah, all you do is you hold your right hand up in a claw, and you use your left hand as like a support on the right hand. And every time Kawhi scored, we take this out like literally a claw. And I think I was giving people claw high fives back in five. And everyone's like, "Oh, getting it!" I was like, "No, we gotta do the claw high five." Yeah, and Dame Lillard shooting free throws. You know, I remember the only thing that came to my mind is his rap album. I was like, oh, this is not good at all. So
he kept yelling about his rap album. I remember that.
It sucks. It sucks. It straight up sucks.
Yeah, you should be nice to them, Talib. They're humans too.
I'm sure they're humans. I think they're great people. They are humans. It's funny. It's a little banter here and there, but as long as it doesn't get personal, it's all good, right?
It's all good. Anything else happened over the weekend?
No, it's just been Raptors. I came home and was doing some work at home, and it's my sister's birthday, so a little family festivities here and there, a little cooking here and there, so it's good. Amna will be listening to this podcast, so happy birthday, Amna.
Yeah, her birthday was 3 days ago, right?
Yeah, I've already set it an auto-download for her, so it automatically downloads and plays for her on Monday morning, so this is the advantage, you know? So she will be listening to it.
Okay, wait, before we get into basketball,
yeah,
I discovered something that I have to tell you about that is completely unrelated to basketball.
All right, what is it?
So Kentucky Fried Chicken,
oh, you gotta tell me.
Their social media account has 11 followers. They follow 11 people. And 6 of those people are with the name Herb, H-E-R-B. And the other 5 are the 5 Spice Girls.
What?
Yeah, so they follow 6 people with the name Herb, and then the 5 Spice Girls. So they follow 11 herbs and spices, which is the recipe for the original Kentucky Fried Chicken.
That's
good. Isn't that amazing?
That's absolutely golden. That is golden. That's probably the best story you've told me. I'm actually laughing and I'm going to look it up because that's golden. That's gold right there.
There you go. So anybody who wants some great water cooler conversation tomorrow, you can feel free to use that. I verified it. It is true.
That is definitely water cooler conversation early in the mornings. Instead of how was your weekend, just go, did you know KFC follows 11 people on social media?
Yeah. Herbs and spices. Okay, let's get into basketball. Let's do some likes and dislikes.
I don't even know where you're sitting at.
All right, so likes and dislikes. We had three games this week. I can't remember what we predicted last week. I'm pretty sure we got it wrong. Both of us got it wrong because I think we predicted... I predicted a Portland loss. You predicted a Boston loss. And we won both of those. And then we ended up losing Detroit. So Boston at Toronto. This was a really easy win. 118-95. My like was Kyle Lowry. He just dominated this game. Like his line doesn't look great. It's 7 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds. But he just controlled that game from start to finish. Probably one of the best games he's played all season, and his line didn't even reflect it. I didn't really have a dislike. I mean, it's really hard to have a dislike on a game that you win by 22 points against a pretty good team.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think I'm going with the team cohesion, man. We saw a lot of chemistry developing here with the entire team, so it was good to see the entire team flow. We're shooting the ball well. Defending was really good. I like to see Patrick McCaw. Patrick McCaw got some extended minutes as well, which was good. And you see the difference he makes. Wow, it's really, really effective. And they put him on against Tatum and everything like that. They put him on against some good players. Dislikes, I got no dislikes. I just want to say, screw Boston. I hate Boston. Everything about Boston sucks. What was funny was the whole Kyrie Irving, the gif that you saw. Did you see that meme where Kyrie on the bench just like looking in like absolutely distaste?
Yeah, were you sad? Also, you said gif.
Is it gif? No, it's gif.
Oh, God. We could do a 30-minute podcast on gif versus gif, so we're not going to start it.
All right. I'm pretty sure it's gif.
Okay, so Portland at Toronto, that was another win. That's the game that we were at. My like was Kyle Lowry and Gasol's chemistry. I thought they really started to establish some chemistry. They've been pretty good all season, but that game especially, they were really good. This is the first time I've done it. I hate ragging on the refs because you can do it every game. But that game especially, I just thought both sides, it was not so good. And then especially that last call on Kyle Lowry where he flew by Dame Lillard to get a three-pointer, I think. To get three free throws.
No, yeah. So, yeah, he flew by. Like Dame Lillard was in, like, a weird, awful shooting position. Again, a horrible call, that one.
Yeah, so that was... I mean, that's such a game-changing call. And it was such a bad call. So that one killed me. Plus, there was a couple others right before that I thought were not great for the Raptors. There was a couple calls that went against Portland as well. I just thought the refs generally were really poor in that game, in a game that was nationally televised and had a lot of hype around it. How about you?
Yeah, I think my dislike was that we gave up the lead. Like we got the lead, then we gave it. Like it was just we got comfortable with our perimeter defense, and it was not good. Like CJ McCollum lit us up, right? He just lit us up, right? He went nuts on us. So perimeter D is a concern. Like I really think this is we've been okay, but judging the last two games, Portland and Detroit, perimeter D is an issue. And sometimes you don't see it because the other team doesn't shoot that well, but they're wide open shots that they're missing, like wide open, no one there. But that was a concern. What I liked about this was Kawhi, man. I think he had a quiet like 25 points. I think halfway through the game, I was like, Kawhi's 25. I had no idea, which was really good. He was getting those easy buckets, simple. And then when it came to dominate, he hit the shot. But I got to give big ups to Danny Green, man. That three-pointer, corner three-pointer, it was so clutch. And he's done that all season long. You're absolutely right. He's on the money, on the point. So Danny Green and Kawhi won us that game.
Yeah, no, great, great game. A lot of fun. The atmosphere was crazy in the ACC or the Scotiabank Arena. I know it's going to take me years to say that.
Scotiabank. Can you imagine it would be like Vince Carter was Air Canada? Now the next person would be Mr. Scotiabank.
Pascal Siakam.
Mr. Scotia.
Toronto at Detroit. So that was today's game. We just finished watching that game a couple hours ago. Toronto lost 112-107 in overtime. My like was I really liked the last play they ran in regulation. I know it didn't work.
Yeah, no, I loved it too.
Man, that play was so good. It fooled me too, because I was watching the play, and if you watch the play, Danny Green's got his arm extended like he's going to get the ball. And you think like that's the safe play. It's a 1.6. You give it to Danny Green. He gets the ball. He just does a turnaround jumper, makes it cool. He doesn't overtime, right? And everybody got fooled that they threw a skip pass to Gasol.
Ooh,
and
that pass is hard to make, man.
Oh my God. About that play is hard, but when it works, it works.
Right? No, but that play was everything good. The only last thing is Gasol got an open shot. He missed 3-point. That's fine. You live or die by that. Like if you get a good shot like that, it's good. You take that straight up, right? You take that. I think great coaching in that thing. So sorry, go ahead. I want to cut you off.
Yeah. And my dislike was just Lin's shooting. He hasn't. It's been a long time, and he hasn't made a 3-pointer yet for the Raptors. Like he had a couple that went in and out, and they felt like they were getting better, but I feel like he's pressing a little too much. And we brought him in specifically because he can shoot the three. And he's made none of them. So I'm hoping he's going to turn around. But that was the most glaring thing. I think he went 0 for 8 today and 0 for 5 from 3, right?
Yeah. I think Lin and Gasol were absolutely not that good. I think Gasol was 2 of 10 or something like that.
Yeah, shooting. Gasol played well. He just didn't shoot well.
He did everything else well. He does he does great box out. He box outs the guys. He gets the rebound. And then when you're facing two guys with Andre Drummond, and especially Andre Drummond alone, like Andre Drummond's a beast to like out rebound.
He was good today. He was really good today.
Andre Drummond was good. So you had to box him out. And we got him some foul trouble early. So you get him out of the game a bit. So you take some advantage of that. So that was good. Rebounding is a concern against these Detroit Pistons. They're a freaking incredible rebounding team. Yeah. Dude Drummond. So that's one thing. What I liked about this game, coaching, man. I love the coaching. Both ends, loved it. And I love the plays that KC ran against the Raptors. And the reason I loved it, because I remember a lot of the stuff was very similar to what the Raps used to run last year with Casey's the year before, so with Casey's playbook, very similar off the brain scrolls for Reggie Jackson, Blake Griffin, similar stuff. And then Nurse was very creative with his play calling. You mentioned it with the end of regulation. That was good. Some of the three pointers, he'd out of timeout, out of free throw, breaks, half break sets, great plays. And I was mentioning it actually, I was like, I've been watching a lot of these plays develop now, and I look at the plays and I'm like, I get excited because I was like, I recognize the play right away. So it's like a stupid excitement. I'm like, oh, I know what this is. This ball's going to go to Danny Green. And when it does, it's executed perfectly. So these guys, obviously, it's makes it look so easy getting open shots, but those screens that all five players are involved, when you see only two players touch the ball, all five need to be in the exact right position. So good coaching overall. So yeah, it's tough to hate this game just because I think it's like it's load management day, and it's like I think it's Detroit. So I think we play down to our competition. That's a concern, straight up.
Yeah, well, we're going in 2 weeks. Talib and I are going to Detroit. So
we are going. It's going to be Terp on the road.
A Terp on the road. Well, we'll try to give everybody a little bit of insights on how it is to go to Detroit and be a Raptor fan there. Okay, Talib, do the most produced segment of our show, the ad break.
You know those moments when you have the ball in your hands, 13.9 seconds on the clock, you dribble up the court, take the screen from your point guard, get up to the shorter defender, and go right baseline, pull up, and bam, clutch, buckets. What I'm describing to you is Kawhi's clutch moment. He had one shot to win it, and he made it. Similarly, with online dating, you also have one shot to match. One shot to find the woman or man of your dreams. If you don't get yourself out there, you've missed it and turned it into an airball. See Chris Child's 2004 playoffs. Our friends at Tinder Photography can hook you up and make sure you get the right shot and right photo so you can dominate in the right light. Contact tinderphotography.ca to get the best candid profile pictures for you today.
Very good. Very good.
I tell you, man, it's tough. It's tough doing this every week.
You can't stop. It is the most talked about segment of our show. Now, you started these completely ridiculous ad reads. We have to forever continue them. So let's just hope you come up with something next week.
If the Raptors do something, it'll be something else, right? Who knows, right?
We'll see. I like this being clutch on the court and being clutch.
You got to be clutch
in the dating apps.
100%. Akshay knows. Akshay is clutch in the dating apps.
Akshay is not clutch on the dating apps. Let's not talk about my dating apps.
We will talk about it on a different episode.
Yeah, one day when there's like summertime, nothing's going on, we'll do an episode on that. Okay, general NBA. Let's talk about what's going on around the league. So I've got a hot take. Okay, not really hot take, more like a warm take. Maybe it's like a 18 degree take. I think the Lakers are done. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Oh snap!
Like they're 4.5 back, 20 games to go. They've got to jump over two teams, or maybe one team. But they've got to catch.
And that's the damn LA, the LA team.
Yeah, and they've got Sacramento in between them. And like they lost to the Suns. It's the reason they're not making the playoffs is not because of the Milwaukee game yesterday. Like, fine, you lost Milwaukee. I watched that game. They choked terribly in the last 2 minutes. They had a inbound pass that they threw right to Milwaukee for a three in the last 2 minutes. I can't remember one minute.
Two games ago. Yep.
Like you just threw away that game, but then to lose to the Suns. You know,
hey,
and
let's not hate on the Suns, man. And DeAndre Ayton had a beast game, but yes, I agree with you. Losing, and LeBron's doing everything. LeBron got like 26 points, 16 assists, and like he's doing everything he can. And
you know what he's not doing though? He's not playing defense.
No, I don't think it's that bad. I think so when you refer to that, I remember listening to the Bill Simmons podcast and then looked up online, and there are a lot of these videos of LeBron just hanging on defense. Yes, that's a point, but that happens all the time. They're not that bad defensively. I don't think they're that bad. I think what they're really bad is their shooting. It's really, really bad. They're 25th% in three-point shooting. And get this. So I was looking at some numbers, and LA take the most shots near the rim. And you know who's second to that or first to that? Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So they're very similar. What the biggest difference is they lack the three-point shooting. Three-point shooting, Milwaukee is a pretty decent one. LA struggles in that. But LA's secondary shooting is not the three-point shooting. They go mid-range a lot.
Yeah.
And that's an issue because you're going mid-range. They haven't picked a spot. Either you go three-point shooting or paint or mid-range, and they're doing neither of them well. You cannot play that game anyways. So they haven't picked where they want to really dominate the game in. If it's like mid-range or three-pointer, or like you got to pick which one you're going to go the most. Either you go three-point a lot like Houston, or you go in the paint and three-point like Milwaukee, right? And LA is just spread out way too thin. Now, the Raptors are very similar to that as well, but the Raptors shoot the three-point. They've been shooting a lot better, and we're a lot better defensively than the Raptors. That's all it is.
I mean, when they put this team together in the summertime, everybody looked at it and goes, these are the issues with this team. This team is going to have these issues. And exactly what you thought those issues were, you know, defensively, they're not going to be strong, especially shooting, they're not going to be strong. And that's how it's played out. So I'm not sure why anybody's shocked about this other than the fact that LeBron's on the team.
Okay, your hot take is Lakers are done. I'm saying the Lakers are not done yet. Oh. I think the biggest game is Monday night, and that's tomorrow night. It's against the Clippers. If they lose that one, it's over. I'll call it over if it's over.
So if they lose, they're 4.5 back with 20 games to go.
I know, but like, they still got time. I think the biggest one is tomorrow.
What do you think realistically they need to go to have a chance? So that means that they need to go like 15-5 the rest of the way.
Yeah, 100%. They need to go really intense. They got to, like, I don't know. It's not even like you're asking. You need players to just make shots. And if the players do not make shots, you have a hard thing. And I think the biggest thing is like I don't know why they got rid of Zubac, because now you're in paint is like garbage. Like Zubac is good.
They play what's his face? Oh man, I forgot.
JaVale McGee.
No, not McGee. They played not Hart. Who's the other guy? I'm losing my mind. They play who's their other young guy?
Kuzma.
They play Kuzma a lot at 3 and 4 at the 4 and 5.
I don't get that. I really don't get that, right? So the whole thing, and the funny thing is Zubac plays for Clippers. So he's going to play against the Lakers on Monday. And I hope he kills it. Like, to be honest with you, the guy's a great player. He's a really good player because he did everything what the Lakers did well, because that's going to the rim. He dominated the rim. Boom. He kept that insane, pretty intact. And now you got like JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler, who are like, I think JaVale McGee is, I think, like a House of Highlights special. Once in a while, you'll see him in House of Highlights, you'll think he does really well, but he doesn't do anything good at anything at all.
Yeah.
Straight up, right? Yeah. Like,
he's not going to move the needle for anything.
No, he's not a consistent player. Like, there are certain players in the league, like, I think Zubac is never going to be in House of Highlights, but he's a very consistent player because they do things that are really, really good for the team and help the team out. I think Nikola Vucevic is the exact same type of player. He's not going to be like a superstar, flashy player. Does it really well. McGee will do some ridiculous block or some ridiculous dunk, and I'll get 2 points, and like it'll be splattered all over the place. But he's shit. He's garbage.
Now I need to put a swear warning because of you.
Oh, sorry. I pause it. He's a doo-doo.
Okay, so Atlanta played a crazy game against Chicago, the four overtime game.
They played two games against.
They played them again tonight, but 2 nights ago they played them. It was a four overtime game, which is, I think, the 15th four overtime game in NBA history. And in that game, Trae Young led Atlanta with 55 minutes. Did you see who was second?
Yeah, it was Vince Carter with
44 minutes for Vince or something like that.
Yeah, it was nuts.
I thought he was going to retire this year. And then I watched Vince. Well, I didn't watch it, but I saw it. Saw his highlights and saw the box score. I saw him play 44 minutes in a game in March. And I'm like, maybe he's going to play another year.
Oh, he loves the game. Clearly, if you're putting in the game, if you have the confidence, the coach, and you're telling the coach, you know, I can go and do it in. I can go play. That's amazing. You know what? He's having the best. Obviously, he's not scoring as much, but his field goal percentage, he's having the shooting the best field goal percentage he has in 10 years. 10 years ago, he was in Orlando. Remember that? That was the end of, like, we thought that was the end of Vince Sandy at that time. Orlando coming towards the end. You know, he's been traded a couple of times. He's shooting the best this year. He's had 12 dunks this year, which is pretty good considering there's no one. And he's the oldest player in the league. He's 42 years old.
He's going to play at 43. I thought he was going to retire, but this guy just, like, the fact that he even wants to play 44 minutes in an NBA game for a game that doesn't matter in the middle of March.
Oh man, good for him, man. He's leading the league. I think, but that team has literally no one, and I think he's like their veteran leader. So you always need a vet in the locker room to just guide the young guys out there. Good for Vince. Happy for the guy. 44 minutes. Also, Trae Young hitting 58 points and like shooting some ridiculous numbers. Also, when I saw that stat, I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. Then I realized it's four overtimes. That's literally another 20 minutes he played. Like another half of the game. Okay.
Yeah, he played a lot. I mean, it's still a good game, but he still played a lot.
Fair enough.
All right, let's do some Take That for Data. It's my turn this week.
My guys dug in that game and earned the right to be in that game, and they did not even give us a chance. That's unacceptable. That was unprofessional. Take that for data. I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up. Explain it.
All right, so Take That for Data. So usually in this segment, we do something nerdy, and I talk about numbers. Today, I'm going to do something nerdy, but it's not related to numbers at all.
Jam.
Yeah, so we're going to mix it up a little bit. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about some weird NBA rules. So I saw an article on this, and I thought it was kind of interesting to go through some of the rules that exist in the NBA rule book that we wouldn't know exist because they're not enforced very often. But still, they're just kind of cool to know. So the first rule, just going to start straight up morbid. There is a disaster draft. So if 5 players in an NBA team are killed,
oh god,
or die due to a disaster, then they do a, like an expansion draft from the other teams so they can fill the team that had the tragedy. And every team is allowed to protect 5 players, and everybody else is up for grabs from that team. So there's actually a clause in the NBA rulebook for if there's such a tragic event.
Oh my god, who'd you protect from the Raptors?
Oh, I don't know. Let's not worry about our 5 that we're protecting. Let's just hope, knock on wood, this doesn't have to be ever.
Hey, there's a TikTok clock. Oh, God. I'm back at my parents. 11 o'clock. We hit the clock.
You know, I was thinking when we started, I should ask you, are you at your parents? Are we going to hit the 11 o'clock?
Yeah, we hit that clock. Yeah, same thing.
Okay, so the second one, I apologize for the clock again, guys. The second rule is the 6th player on the court. So you're actually allowed 6 players on the court if the ref doesn't catch you. So if the ref catches you, they call a technical foul, and the 6th player has to be removed. But for whatever reason, if a 6th player comes onto the court and, say, hits a 3, that 3 counts because the ref didn't stop the 6th player.
You gotta be kidding me. Yeah, seriously? Yeah.
So there's no rules against that, but there is a rule against the 6 players being on, but the ref has to catch it. If they don't catch it, anything they do is still valid.
What if you this makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah,
it's a real rule, I guess, because they just put it on the refs, right? Like, it's too many things to write, So what if they come in and take a shot? What if they come in and hack somebody? What if they do this? What if they do that? You have to write
rules
for
everything. Someone's going to find out in this modern day NBA. Yeah.
You see Steph Curry run from the bench, take a three, run back.
Run back, yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, sorry, he's just, what is he doing there? Oh, it counted. Refs didn't catch him. He's back in. It's like everything just played, the entire play dies as soon as Steph gets back to the bench. Oh, you can't call it now.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it does. I wonder what happens in hockey with it if they come on and the refs don't catch it. Because it happens in hockey a lot more.
It happens in hockey, but normally the ref, I don't know if the refs don't catch it. Like, they're pretty quick at, like, yeah. I've seen plays where there's like six players in the ice, and then where the coach is yelling at the other team to just get the other person off.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know if, you know, the refs don't catch it. I mean,
it's hard not to. There's 20,000 refs in the building for that, right?
So, yeah, absolutely.
So it's fine. Okay, so the third one is out of bounds screen. So you're not allowed to set a screen out of bounds at all. So if you're on the near the end line and your foot is out of bounds and you're setting a screen, it doesn't matter if the ball handler uses the screen or not. The second a screen is set and a player is out of bounds, it's called out of bounds.
Again.
Against the team. Even if the ball handler doesn't use that screen. Just the screen being out of bounds is an out of bounds. It's very, very, like, I've never seen it, but it's a rule. And then the last rule that I thought was kind of cool is if you foul out of a game, but then a team doesn't have another healthy player, you can stay in the game, but for every foul that the team gets after that, there's also a technical assessed. So any two-shot foul would become a three-shot foul. Any three-shot foul would become a four-shot foul.
Any further subsequent personal foul, like it'd be on that foul, the person who got fouled out.
Yeah. So they would get an extra technical. So
I always wonder about this.
Yeah,
I was wondering about this, playing like NBA 2K, and I'd like foul out a bunch of players because you can do it real quick. And then you're like, what happens? I never got to that point because it takes way too long.
Yeah, it's hard. You couldn't actually do it. So I looked this up if it was actually a case that happened in the NBA. And there was one actually that was fairly recent in the modern NBA where this actually happened. It happened in 2010. It was a Warriors versus Trailblazers game. The Warriors at the time were a 20-win team. It was the last game of the season. And the
Hold on. Before you say that.
Yeah.
Warriors 20-win team. All right. That's the last time you're ever going to hear that for a long time.
20-win team. Wait till you hear the starting lineup. And the Blazers were a 50-win team. And so this was game 82. The Warriors had six healthy players. Okay. And they had to field eight. So they dressed two injured players, Ronny Turiaf and Anthony Morrow, and just told them to sit on the bench. And then the plan was for the six to play and just like play out the game because they had to play it. Not that it mattered for either team because the playoff positioning was set and the Warriors weren't making the playoffs. So the starting lineup for the 2010 Golden State Warriors, this is Steph Curry's rookie year, was Steph Curry, Monta Ellis, Reggie Williams, Chris Hunter, I don't know who Chris Hunter is, can't remember him, and Anthony Tolliver. And they had one player on the bench, Devin George.
Devin George, LA Lakers.
Yeah. So they had, that was their starting lineup. They were planning to just play six guys and the two guys were just going to sit and chill on the bench being injured. Ronny Turiaf and Anthony Morrow. 5 minutes into the game, Chris Hunter gets hurt. Knee injury. Can't continue. So now they have five healthy players. Devin George comes in. Okay. And so they're playing. 5 minutes to go in the game. It's a 4-point game. Devin George commits his sixth personal foul. So now
it's a 4-point game?
Yeah, it's a 4-point game. And so Devin George commits his sixth personal foul, gets kicked out of the game. And the coach at the time was Donnie Nelson, who, by the way, now is like a hippie who smokes weed all day in the mountains. But at the time, he was an NBA coach. He wanted to invoke this rule, which was, I don't have any players. I just want to keep Devin George in. And every subsequent foul will also have a technical foul associated with it. The refs said, no, you can't do that because Chris Hunter is still on the bench. You haven't ruled him out for the game. Ronny Turiaf is on the bench active. And Morrow is also on the bench active. So they forced him, Don Nelson, to put in Chris Hunter. So he put Chris Hunter in for a minute. Chris Hunter got fouled. he got hurt. Obviously, he was already hurt. And then he went off and he said, I'm hurt. So then Donnie Nelson's like, okay, now can I put Devin George in? And they said, no, you still have Ronnie Turiaf and Anthony Morrow on your bench. You have to play them. They are listed as active. This is game 82. Nothing matters of this game. So he puts, finally, after arguing, the Blazers fans are yelling. If you watch the clip, they're yelling. They're yelling at the refs, you know, like, this is a nothing game. Let's just finish it. They put Ronnie Turiaf in. He comes in. He commits a foul right away within 10 seconds. Goes to the ref, says he got hurt committing the foul. Walks off the court into the back. Then Anthony Morrow comes in. He checks in. He commits a foul, goes to the ref, says, I got hurt committing the foul. He walks in and walks off. And now the bench is empty. Literally, there is nobody on the bench because all three players are injured and in the back and now ruled out of the game by their medical staff. So now they finally let Devin George back in with 3.5 minutes to go. Portland is up in the game at this point, 110-108. And then you think, after all this commotion, these four guys have played 44 minutes. They're going to be done. Steph Curry torches them for the last 3.5 minutes in his rookie year, scores 11 points. They finish the game on a 14-6 run, and they end up winning. The Golden State Warriors actually end up winning against the Portland Trail Blazers by 8 points. It ended up being a 122-116 game. Oh, sorry, by 6 points. 122-116 game. And that was like the craziest game when this rule came into account, when the fouled out but still in a game rule was actually utilized in an NBA game.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. I tell you, that was a great story. I'll tell you, Akshay, way to go. You narrated that well.
It's KFC Twitter accounts and Warriors versus Trailblazers from 2010. Lots of water cooler talk for you.
Would you say this was a turning point for Warriors becoming one of the greatest NBA dynasties? Is it because of this? Is it because of the refs? Are the refs to be blamed? Are the refs too soft?
I think what turned it was they were like, oh, Steph Curry is actually good.
He can score when playing in 44 minutes a game, and he can actually turn it up.
Yeah, so let's just get rid of the Monta Ellis guy who's never been good, but just puts in useless, like, empty buckets. And let's build around this 5'8" kid. He's not 5'8". I lied. He's like 6". But he looks like a baby in those highlights. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I kind of thought it was neat to look at some rules that we never really talk about. I have trivia for you though. Question. Oh,
good.
Do you know how they decide which side you shoot on?
In the beginning of the game?
Yeah, the beginning of the game.
I would think it's like, I would say home gets preference.
No, away gets to pick.
Away gets to pick wherever they want to go, wherever they want to shoot.
Yeah, and usually the away team will pick so that in the fourth quarter, their defense is in front of their bench.
Yeah, and I know about that because that's almost like they want the coach to tell them, or like coach or one of the coaches to like let the players know what player the other team is running.
Yeah, I thought it was actually home too because it made sense to me, but it's actually away.
Makes sense.
All right, let's do some predictions before we get out of here. We got three games: Houston at Toronto Tuesday, Toronto at the Pelicans on Friday, and then Toronto at Miami on Sunday, where they will be. Oh man, a Sunday Miami game, man.
Oh, that's the worst.
You know
what's
that? That means they're going to be partying hard on Saturday night.
Oh, it's gonna be load management day. I guarantee you that is load management day.
Load management
is load management day. Call or book it right now. All right. You wanna put money on that? That's load management day.
That should be your prediction. Load management day.
That's load management.
Okay, so what are your predictions for wins and losses this week?
I got a win on Houston and Toronto. Yeah. I got a win against Houston. I think we lost last time.
Yeah.
And I think we had some bad calls around the way. And hopefully we can get that back. It's in Toronto, so it'll be good. Hopefully the refs aren't. I don't know, refs have been like a little bit ridiculous last few games against us and against the whole league. I think, for example, Trae Young got like ejected for like taunting tonight. It was ridiculous. And Russell Westbrook got one for just talking to himself. Like there's some insane thing going on the refs right now. Hopefully they don't go ham on us. Pascal got a tech and Danny Green got a tech today.
Yep. And Zaza got kicked out.
I didn't even know Zaza was in the league. Yeah, I was like, Zaza's still in the league? And yeah, I was like, where's Jose? Jose is one of the oldest players on the bench.
He's inactive. He was
He's there, right?
Yeah, he's there. He's just inactive.
Oh, Zaza.
Zaza. And how about the Pelicans game? What do you think? We're going to win? Lose?
Yeah, that's a win because Anthony Davis is going to play 10 minutes a game. And it's going to be in the first quarter of the game, majority of it, because they're going to bench him. When the game gets close, they're going to bench him because that's what the Pelicans do. And they're going to force, they're going to make Julius Randle beat us.
Yep. And then Miami?
That's a loss. It's load management day, man. I'll tell you, these Sunday games, like, unless they're like a 1 p.m., they're awful. Like, and Miami is like, is a fun team to watch. Also, first of all, on social media, today they announced it was like Dwayne Wade Day. Just because it's 3-3, you got to be kidding me. Like, what kind of made-up crap is this? Like, 3-3 is Dwayne Wade Day? Like, this is
it's
ridiculous.
It's one last dance, man. One last dance.
Everything, like, 3-3, just because it's March 3rd, his number's 3, we're going to call it Dwayne Wade Day and show Dwayne Wade highlights. He did make a crazy shot last week, but, like, this is insane. So we're going to have another, like, jersey exchange on this day. Who knows who's going to get the Dwayne Wade jersey? That's the bet you got to make.
Kyle. I think Kyle got it. DeLon got it last time.
I think Kyle already got it.
Kawhi. No.
Kawhi doesn't give a shit about this stuff. He's not going to be playing. He's not going to wear a jersey. He's low management.
Yeah.
What are your takes?
He's going to – Kawhi's going to take off his suit jacket and give it to
– He's going
to
give the New Balance sneakers for, like, Dwayne Wade's, like, the Chinese brand that he reps?
Yeah.
The New Balance and Anti switching places. Yeah. Nike's like, who?
Yeah. I don't think anybody's getting the jersey. I got the same things as you. I got win, loss. I think Houston, they're going to have Kawhi back. They're going to play – hard because it's a nationally televised game. New Orleans, because they only play Anthony Davis 20 minutes. And honestly, Miami, because they're going to fly in on Saturday night and go party.
I think the biggest thing that these guys did with the Houston game, Houston's one thing, guys. Houston will go up to these massive leads, and if they go up to they'll take like a 20-point lead, but they're one of the teams that can give up that 20-point lead very quick.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch Harden dribble 4,000 times. It'll be something.
I hate watching that offense. I absolutely hate it. And the fact that I think Clint Capella is there now, it also scares me a bit, but he's good. But watching Harden just dribble is just frustrating.
Yep. It's not, at least CP3 is back, so it won't be as bad. But definitely you're going to see a lot of ISO in that Houston game.
Last thing.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a last thing.
What's last
thing? Bruno watch. Bruno had 9 points. 11 rebounds and 5 assists last night against Dallas. Bruno, baby, he's in. The Memphis Grizzlies are the Toronto Raptors of 2000 and 2 years of never before. Two years before 2 years.
The Grizzlies tweeted out today, "We the South."
Really?
Yeah, they just had a clip of DeLon, I think, throwing a lob to JV, and they tweeted it out and said, "We the South."
There you go. Take him, man. I hope JV and wishing the best.
Grizzlies fans, there's space on the bandwagon. Come join us. We're excited. Us for the playoffs.
Yeah, the 5 Grizzly fans that exist in this world. Come on over.
Okay, so now you've just offended them all. So, all right, we're done. Let's get out of here. Anything else?
Now, last thing, appreciate for listening to us. Please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, subscribe to us on Spotify, and follow us on the Untitled Raptors Instagram account. We thank you again for listening, and hopefully we'll have some more stories for you guys next week. Let's go Raptors, Houston, New Orleans, and Miami. Hopefully we go 3-0. Peace.